So I wanted to talk to you today about some of the reading that I was doing. And whilst doing the reading, I thought about some things that I thought that I needed. And I thought, well, I'm just a normal person, and if I need them, well, maybe some other people do too. So I'd like to run through those things with you today. But before we do, let's pray and ask God to bless his word. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to come before you today and worship you. I pray, Lord, that you help me to convey your word to the congregation this morning, that you'd open their hearts, Lord, and that we'd all gain a blessing from it. We thank you for the singing this morning, Lord. We pray it was acceptable to you. We thank you for Karen and Rick and for their special, Lord. We pray a blessing on them. We thank you, Lord, for these things. Please bless the sermon. In your name we pray, amen. So I titled this sermon, Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant. So from that, you can probably guess that we're going to Matthew. We're going to have a look at Matthew 25 for the first verse, but then we're going to move on from there. So Matthew 25:23, verse 23. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it out to you. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. When I was reading this, I thought to myself, well, that's great. That sounds great. But how do I know that I've been faithful in the few things? What were the few things? Am I sure that I've done enough for God? So, reading further on, I found a few things. I found a few things that I thought, they're very pertinent, that if I did them and did them well, that God might think that I was a good and faithful servant. Now, those things that we want to study today, they come from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 44. And that's where we're going to be looking at today. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 44. So if you can turn there, because we'll be referencing this scripture. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, I'll start off by reading it to you. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him two or twain. Give to him that askest thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So, in the preparation for this message, it struck me that there's probably a good five or six messages in those verses. So I want to touch on all these verses because I'm not looking at, I don't want to delve too deep into one. What I'm looking at is how do you know, how do I know that we've done enough for God? How do we know that we're going to be called good and faithful servant? So I want to know for sure that I've gone the extra mile. I don't want to leave it to chance. I want to know for sure I've done enough to be called that good and faithful servant by God. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that you don't earn your way to heaven, that salvation is a free gift. But wouldn't you like to be sure that you're doing enough for God? Wouldn't you like to have some assurance that you're doing what you should be doing? There are definitely multiple sermons and lessons here. So as we go through, I hope that you'll get and you'll see from this more than one thing. You hopefully will get a gauge of how we can gauge ourselves so that we can be good and faithful servant. So let's look at verse 38. Now we see an infallible truth here from the Old Testament. in verse 38. It says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." And so many times you hear this verse quoted for an excuse to be able to retaliate on people and to be able to get your retribution on people, revenge if you like. So the people in the Old Testament lived this. They lived an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This comes from Exodus 21:24. And in there you'll see that that's one of the laws they lived by. If you do me wrong, then I'll do you wrong. So I started thinking when I'm reading this, well, I don't know, that sort of sounds like a lot of what happens today still. Everybody, if someone does wrong to them, they want to get them back. Everybody goes, "You can't treat me like that. I'm not going to take that. I'm going to do this back to you." So the majority of people that you meet out there are probably still using this as their motto. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Do me wrong, I'll do you wrong. But hang on. That's the worldly people. We're Christians. We're supposed to do something different. So if we have a look, we'll see in verse 39, it says, "I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." So let's have a think about this. In the last 2 weeks, has someone said something nasty to you, abused you, caused you pain, done something wrong to you, and you've just forgiven that and turned the other cheek and not tried to get your own back? Can we think of a time where we've done that? Remember, these are some of the things that we can use to gauge whether we're being a good Christian. Have we done that? See, God knew that we always seek revenge, and he knew that that revenge would eat us up inside. So he told us of a better way of doing things, turning the other cheek, that instant forgiveness to turn the other cheek. In Romans 12:19, it says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." How are we going? Are we thinking about our attitudes towards people and the things that we've done in the last 2 weeks, the last month? Have we tried to get revenge on someone for something? Pay someone back? Are we turning the other cheek? And do we turn the other cheek often enough? But God says that there's a better way. You know, in the next verse, we see another truth that relates to this. It says, "And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." Now, how many of us here have ever thought about suing someone? I work in a business workplace, and I know that the word sue, or lawyer, comes up very often. And it just seems to be that it's one of the things we go to automatically when someone wrongs us, or we think that we've been hard done by someone. "Oh, well, I'm going to sue them. I'll get my money out of them." But what does this verse say? It says, "If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat," it says, "let him have thy cloak also." So how many of us here have ever thought of suing someone? How many of us have been sued? Do you think the person or the company would not just give you whatever you were after, but would give you everything else as well? Do you think that? No, I don't think that at all. But hang on, that's what this verse says as a Christian, isn't it? What this verse is speaking about, and what I want you to see today, is that there is an expectation by the world that people act a certain way. There's an expectation that when someone wrongs you, you get your back up and you want to wrong them back. There's an expectation that when you get sued, that you're going to give only what you need to, and that's that. What is this verse saying? It's saying, do the unexpected. As a Christian, we do the unexpected by the world. If you just do what is expected of you, then you are the world. If you do what is expected of you. When you do the unexpected, then you're going and rising above that. Okay, and you're doing what God asks of you. We should make God's expectations our standard and not the world's. How are we doing? Are your expectations that you're living up to, are they God's expectations or are they world's expectations? When you go to work and you have to go and talk to that person that you don't like talking to and he says something mean and nasty to you, do you turn around and walk away and just go, I'm not ever talking to that bloke again. He irks me, he riles me up. Or do you just forgive him and just go, okay, fine, I understand. Yep, no worries. And you just keep on going with what you've got to do. You see, he knew he said something to annoy you. What did he expect? He expected you to turn around and go, I'm never going to talk to him again. But you did something unexpected. And you stayed there and you talked to him and you treated him with love and kindness. So there's an expectation of the world. And we've got to make sure that we're living up to God's expectation and not the world's expectation. As I was looking through this, I thought, well, you know, turning the other cheek, giving the unexpected, how long do we have to do this for? How often do we do this for? When do I stop? Like, if someone is using me in a way that I don't like to be used, worldly wise, when do I just, you know, never talk to that person again? Do I stop? Do I not? And it dawned on me that there are some examples in the Bible that show us about this. And if you look at the case of forgiveness for a Christian, then we see we're compelled by Matthew 18. Once again, it was in Matthew. I was reading through Matthew. Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22. And those are the verses which read, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say it not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Turning the other cheek and forgiveness. Now, these things go hand in hand. How often do you turn the other cheek when someone wrongs you? How often should we do that? Well, I'd say unto you, if you have a read of your Bible and you look at the example that's set there, there is no limit. Being a Christian doesn't have a limit, does it? Are you a Christian for 5 years? Are you a Christian for 6 years? Is it 10 years? There's no limit. There's no limit on forgiveness. God didn't say, I'm going to forgive you, and if you accept my offer in the next 3.5 years, then you get salvation. That's not how it works. So if that's not how it works, then why do we put limits on it? Why do we say, you know what? My sister's always doing that. She always does that. It makes me feel terrible and I've had enough and that's it. I'm not calling her. I'm not going to talk to her. And I'm not going to spend any time with her anymore. That's all there is to it. And my sister's really nice, so don't. But what I'm saying to you is we put our human and worldly expectations and limitations on God's word. We change it from what it is and we look at it and go, no, that's the way it should be. When really God says quite simply in the Bible, through example and through these verses, that there is no limit to the amount of times you're meant to turn the other cheek and you are meant to forgive. How you doing? Are you all forgiving enough? Are we all turning the other cheek? I'm preaching this because I'm not. I'm a pretty harsh person in some instances and I've got to learn to do these things. But, you know, this is about self-examination. Now, this isn't about someone coming to you and saying, I think you need to turn the other cheek. I think you need to forgive more. This is not what that's about. This is about me looking in myself and saying, am I doing enough for God? And how do I gauge that? And these are some of the ways you can gauge it. Are you forgiving enough? Are you turning the other cheek? So the overwhelming theme here of being a follower of Christ is one of not holding grudges. And if someone aims to hurt you or startle you in some manner, then perhaps we're meant to go through these things and not try to seek revenge or get that person back. That person that wronged you. So, what's a good example? What do we call those things that God sometimes sends our way and we go, oh no, I don't want to have to do that. Trials? You know, sometimes people are sent along in your life as a trial for you. And what you have to go through is something the Lord wants you to go through. And I'm a firm believer after reading through Scripture that if you don't go through those trials, then they will come back to you. You can take examples from David. You can take examples all through the Bible. But the point is that trials are sent along for a reason. Now, James says in the Bible, he doesn't say, if you go through trials. What does he say? He says, when you go through trials. So you're going to go through them. How do they affect you? How do you treat those trials? What's your reaction? The world has an expectation. What is God's expectation? Are you living up to it? Do you forgive and never try to get retribution? Remember, no one's perfect. Remember, we all fall down. Only God's perfect. However, we needed an example to look up to, and that example is Jesus. The Scripture gives us a guidebook, and that's what this is. This is our guidebook. You know, if you hold a grudge against your brother and sister, if you can't forgive and you can't turn the other cheek, how long will that grudge last for? It's an ambiguous question, isn't it? I know people that have kept grudges all their lives. And you talk to that person about the one they've got the grudge against, and they're still like, oh, don't talk to me about him or her. Okay. Don't let that get into your soul. Turn the other cheek straight away. You know, the longer you fester on something, the greater it grows. Don't give power to that. Okay, you've got to get rid of that straight away. We need to do more. We need to be more. We need to let go of our anger. We need to fill that place with forgiveness and humility. You know, pride is one of the things that holds us back, and there's countless sermons on pride in the Bible. This isn't about that, but pride is part of what holds you back. Okay? Oh, they can't treat me like that. Do they know who I am? They don't know what I've done. Let's get down from our high horses and just forgive and move on. Matthew says in verse 41, and whoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. You know, you're supposed to be the help that people need. What are we in the world? What are we supposed to be in the world? A light. Shine your light for everyone to see. We're supposed to be the help that people need in the world. You know, the word compel from verse 41 is referring to that of being requested to do something. In the old days, the Romans could compel the Jews or others to carry or cart something for a mile. They could use them as guides or porters. And this verse is saying to not just do what is asked of you, but to do more than that which is needed. To put yourself last and put others first. To do the unexpected and not the expected. You see, when the Roman centurion would ask someone and say, hey, you there, you come over here, you pick up that basket and you carry that for a mile, because someone else has just put it down. And they would use them all day long to do that. And people were, or they had to, by law, do that. So when you got to the end of your mile and then centurion goes, all right, drop the basket, and he's got to pick someone else, you go, do you mind if I carry that another mile for you? And he's like, what? No one asked that. Well, that should be how people see us today. Do you mind if I carry that another mile for you? Do you mind if I do that little bit extra for you? Do you mind if I do what no one else is going to do? If I show you what a real Christian is and I do that little bit extra, it's one of the ways we can gauge how we're going. How are we doing? Do you go the extra mile? Are you doing everything that you can do, not just here for Christ, but for everybody? This verse doesn't highlight just to do it for God, does it? It says to do it for everybody. In reality, everything we do is for God. But to the world, to people that don't know God, we should be doing these things unexpectedly. They would think you're not going to carry it another mile. You should be carrying it another mile. So do you put others first? Put yourself last. One of the things I fall down on. I enjoy doing the things I like. And sometimes other people that want me to do things infringe on that. So they can wait. No, that's not the way we should look at things. We should do things because we want to do them for God. We want to help people. We want to be that good example. Do the unexpected. So going ahead to the next verse, which is verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. How many times has someone asked you for something and you've said, oh, look, I just can't do that right now. I'm a little bit busy. I'll get back to you. You hold that thought. There's all these little excuses that we have and that we come up with in the world. We just have this inability to just turn around and go, yes, brother, I'd love to help. You know, a lot of the times you get asked to do something, you want to help. You know, something inside you says, as a Christian, you want to help, but there's just too many other things in the way. You know, you've got to pick the kids up from school. You've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this. And so we say, oh, no, I can't help you with that. Let's have a think about, can we say to the person, hey, I could do that on Saturday. Can I give you a hand on Saturday? Because they will be expecting someone just to say no, and they'll have to find someone else. And you want to do the unexpected. You want to turn around and say, look, I'd love to help. I can't because of this, but I really want to. Can we change it to another day? Is there any way you can move that? Can I give you a hand on this time? You know, it should be part of our nature to try and help and keep doing these things to help people. Of him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Are we starting to see the theme? These seven little verses, but so much of the Christian life and morals and values are covered in them. They're just seven little verses. Do we read them? Do we meditate on them? Do we know them? If someone needs something and asks it of you, then we are to do our best to accommodate them. Are you doing your best to accommodate people? Are you doing your best for God? Because that's what this is. This is not just giving of our possessions. When someone says, can I borrow something from you? That's not exactly what we're talking about. What about of your effort? What about of your time? I mean, to me, possessions come and go, money comes and goes. That's fairly, you know, you can earn more of that. I can't get any more time back. Your time's very precious. God gives you a certain amount of time on this earth. Now, he wants you to do these things with your time. That's what he's put in scripture. If you can help people, you should help people. So sacrificing your time is more valuable than sacrificing possession. You know, I'll put it to you this way. If we wanted to build a $500,000 building, and we asked one person, and we said, let's say Rick, we say, Rick, I want you to pay for a $500,000 building, okay, and get it built for us so we can come and worship in it. And Rick might go, oh, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. But if we said, okay, how about the 200 people before us, how about we all get together and for the next month of Sundays, well, no Sundays will be in church. How about we say month of Saturdays? We get together and we erect that building together. We put our time in and our effort in and we erect that building. It can be done because everybody's sacrificing of their time. Money comes and goes. It's hard maybe to get one person to put that amount of money in, but if we all put our time in together, we can do miraculous things. So give of your time. Give to other people of your time. Sure, I know people can't afford to give money sometimes, and that's fine. Possessions, that's fine. You have time and you have effort. So we need to see that. Are you giving of your time to God? We all put our tithe in. What was the 10% that you put in this morning? Was that enough? Then what about your time? Have you done any tithing of your time and your effort? Have you given God any of that? Have you helped your neighbour who's asked you, oh, you know, I'm sick, I've broken my leg, I can't mow my lawn, any chance you can help me with that? Oh, sorry, mate. Oh, I don't mow, I get a bit of hay fever. You know, come on. We can all find ways of helping. And that's what this verse is saying, you know, don't turn them away. If they ask something of you, then you should try and accommodate them and you should try and do it. If they want to borrow something of you, well, that's up to you. But a lending of your time to someone and giving someone of your time is another way to help someone. And as I say, to me, it's more precious. You know, I've got a lot of children. I need to spend time with them. If I take time away from them to spend helping someone, to me, that means a lot. To my kids, that means a lot. Does it mean much to them? Yeah, if they sit down and think about it, I guess it would. So give of your time. You know, it says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. That last bit of that verse, it says, turn thou not away. Now that to me sounds like it's a direct instruction. Yeah? It sounds like a direct instruction. It sounds like they're saying directly to you, don't say no. So it's something for you to think about. I'm not going to delve into that and say, you don't say no if someone wants you to mow the lawn, if someone wants to borrow something off you, this type of thing. What I'm saying to you is, how are you doing for God? In your soul, in your heart, how are you doing? You're thinking about these things? You're thinking, when did I last say no to someone? Oh, I do that all the time. When did I go and help someone? Oh, hang on, such and such asked me to help, but I didn't go do it. Why didn't I go do it? I didn't know Matthew said all those things. I should go do it. Maybe I'll call that bloke up. You know, how are you doing for God? Are you showing other people out there that you're a Christian? That's what these verses are about. Lastly, we can look at how we're expected as God's followers to treat our enemies. So just before I read this, I want to read through the verse again. And it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So just show of hands really quickly. Does anyone have a mortal enemy? Anyone? No? You do, Clyde? Okay. the devil. Yes, that's good. It was a rhetorical question. I mean, these days we don't have those type of enemies, do we? Mortal enemies. So how about just a normal enemy? Does anyone have a normal enemy? I don't really have anyone that I would think of as an enemy. I know if you guys maybe are a little bit harsher than me, you might. It's up to you. Let's talk about then something that you can relate more to home with. Does anyone have someone at work that just irks them? That just gets under your skin? Guess what? No? Okay, that's good. You work in a good place. Most people do. Look, it's just a fact that we're not going to get on with everybody. You know, and so some people have these people that they don't like to talk to, that irk them, and just every time they see them, they're just like, oh. So if you have a look at that and you put that person into this role and you say, you might not hate them with a passion, but you definitely don't love them with the love of God. Okay, and that's what we're supposed to do. Okay, we're supposed to love them with the love of God. See, no matter who it is, if we regard them as having done wrong to us, someone that we dislike or someone who we could never love with the love of God, then these verses are for us. You've heard it been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemies. That's the way they used to do it, the Old Testament. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Thinking about someone, thinking about a situation that has happened, we've got anything in our head? How are we doing now? I try to be nice to everybody, but I have two people at work that I know every time I go to see them about something, they're going to snap at me and they're going to say something nasty. I mean, the vulgarity that people use in the workplace is horrendous. and people know you're a Christian, you've told them you're a Christian, you act like a Christian, and they still want to try and swear and cuss and just, you know, say all the wrong things. They want to try and tick you off as much as they can. So you can let that get to you. Or are you going to love these people with the love of God? Are you going to bless these people, even if they curse you, and to the other friends at work stab you in the back? You've got to bless them. Thanks for that. You've got to bless them. That's what it says. Do good to them that hate you. Do good to these people. You can't do bad to them. You can't get them back. Remember, turn the other cheek. These people that are out in the world, you know, these silly politicians that want to go and instigate all these new worldly rules and laws that we don't agree with, got to bless them. Got to pray for them. Do we do that? How are you doing now? When was the last time you prayed for someone that did something bad to you? But you didn't pray, Lord, just strike him down. You don't pray that. When did you last pray for that person and say, Lord, give me the strength. Give me the strength to be able to help that person. Help me, Lord, to be able to understand. Help me to be that light that I'm supposed to be. And bless them, Lord. Help them to come to you. Because without God, these people aren't going to change their ways. And then the last part of this, so that was do good to them that hate you. You've got to do good to them that hate you. That's what the Bible says. Then it says, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So, yes, we've got to pray for them. But this isn't just praying for your neighbour that you like. This isn't just praying for your kids because you love them, your wife. This is praying for them that despitefully use you. These are the people that you don't want to be around. You've got to pray for them. And if nothing else today, then we need to realize that if we're not doing these things here, we're not doing everything we can for God. These are about what's inside me. These aren't about, you know, all the external things you can do. You can go hand out as many tracts as you like. That's a great thing to do. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about how are you in your soul with God? Are you doing enough for God? Is he going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thy into the joy of the Lord. Is he going to say that to you? I want the well done. I want the well done. I want to serve God and I want to have that. I want him to say that about me. Do you still believe that you're doing enough for Christ? Do you bless the ones that curse you? Do you do good to them that hate you? You know, it's hard enough to get through life doing good to those that you love. You know, there's things, there's trials that come along that, you know, you get angry with your family and that you love your family. You don't want to be angry with them, but you do. You get angry with them. That's hard enough. But to those that hate you and curse you and persecute you, you got to do good to them. You got to love them. So remember that. Put that in your mind. You know, there's some people out there that when you talk to them, and I have spoken when I was handing out tracts on the street in Mackay, I spoke to a lady and I handed her a tract and I said, you know, this is a Bible tract, you know, can I give you one and teach you how to get to heaven and get saved? And she goes, oh, I don't need that. And I said, oh, all right, you're already a Christian? She goes, oh, no, I don't do anything wrong. I don't do anything bad. She was a Catholic lady, she told me. So I put down this little sentence in here. Maybe you are in some type of denial, believing that you've never crossed anyone, you've never seen a mean word to anyone, and thinking that you always do good. Because we know that there are none good, not one. You know, if we really look inside ourselves, we know that there's more we can do. We know that we can always do that little bit extra for God. And that's what we're talking about today. Have I done enough? So I hope that you've seen today, as I've seen when I read through this chapter, that in myself I fall down in so many ways, and that these few things, these seven verses show us these few things that we could do and do well. You know, the first verse that we read out, or that I read out to you, it says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Can you be faithful over a few things? These aren't groundbreaking things. You know, as a Christian, you're supposed to forgive. You know, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. You've heard them preached to you a lot. You've read them. But how are you actually doing in your life with them? It's all well and good to say, I'm a Christian, but do you act like a Christian should act? Do you do these things so that God can say to you when you get to heaven, well done, good and faithful servant? One last thing I want to read out to you, and I was reading through some stories that I had on my computer, and this one was there, and it's called Stopped by a Brick. A number of years back, a young man, a very successful executive, was travelling down a suburban street in his brand new black Jaguar. Suddenly, a brick was thrown from the sidewalk, thumping into the side door of his car. The brakes slammed on, the gears ground into reverse, the tyres madly spun, and the Jaguar back up to the spot where the brick was thrown from. The driver jumped out and grabbed the kid who had thrown the brick and pushed him up against the parked car, and he said, What was all that about? He said, that's my new Jag. That brick's going to cost you a lot of money. And the little kid said, please, mister, please, I'm sorry. I didn't know what else to do, pleaded the youngster. I threw the brick because no one else would stop. Tears were streaming down his face. He pointed around the back of the parked car and he said, it's my brother, mister, it's my brother. He said, he's rolled out of his wheelchair on the curb and he's fallen and I can't get him back up into his wheelchair. He's hurt. The boy said to him, would you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's too heavy for me. The mood was transformed in a moment as the young executive realized what had occurred. He lifted the young man back up into the wheelchair, took out his handkerchief and wiped the young lad's tears and his scrapes and cuts. He then watched as the younger brother pushed his older brother down the sidewalk towards their home. You know, this man never got the dent in his car fixed. He left it there to remind him of two things. One is not to go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at you to slow you down. And secondly, helping and forgiving someone starts straight away, no matter what they threw at you. So there's some things to think about. I hope you've got something out of that. Let's bow our heads and we'll just thank the Lord. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word, Lord. I pray that we've received something from it, Lord, that you've just touched our hearts, Lord, and helped us to think about, are we doing enough for you, Lord? Do we forgive? Do we forgive straight away? Lord, do we turn the other cheek? Do we pray for those people that we don't like, those people that annoy us and irk us? I pray, Lord, that you just help us to be able to be better at these things, that we might have that assurance that we're going to get that well done from you when we come into heaven, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless each one here, that you'd send us away with your blessing, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you bring us back to this place next week safely. In your name we pray. Amen.